Good morning, Lee.
Howdy there, Tara.
Okay, so Iran has already suspended U.S. talks, canceled its Switzerland trip. They were supposed to meet up with J.D. Vance. Iran cited Israeli strikes on Lebanon as a breach of the agreement. And so Vice President J.D. Vance has canceled his planned trip to Switzerland for talks with Iran. He cited unresolved logistics and uncertainty surrounding the next round of negotiations. Iran is clear. No, we're not doing it because you won't restrain Israel. So that's where we are this morning as we wake up. Meanwhile, Financial Times reporting Trump administration has already agreed to give Iran $6 billion, the first tranche. The wording of it is that it's for food and medicine and stuff for the people. And we don't have the details of it because they haven't released them, that America will make sure they only buy American products with it. We'll see how that goes. But Iran is demanding, saying $6 billion isn't enough. They want $18 billion unfrozen. So, again, we'll see how this works. This is the same wording that Obama and Biden used. Oh, it's going to be for food. It's going to be for whatever. And then they transfer the money. Let's see if Trump does it differently. Let's see if he says, no, we're not giving you the money. We're going to give you pallets of, you know, baby formula. Let's see what goes in. And there's no details on that yet, but we have agreed to release the first $6 billion. Iran is saying, no, we want 18 now, which to me looks like, Lee, if you put all these stories together, what it looks like is Iran is saying, no, we're not going to show up to talks. We just want the money.
Yeah.
Pay us some more. Give us some more. Give it to us in a form we want, or we're not showing up for talks. And it's to Iran's benefit to run down the 60 days with the talks.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and that's what they're already they stood J.D. Vance up.
They are experts at running out the clock.
They learned from Obama and from Biden. And so what they're trying to do right now is get Trump to restrain Israel. And I think they're holding out for more money. They want the funds unfrozen.
Yeah, they want to pressure Trump to protect Hezbollah from Israel, from the IDF, and then get more money out of him. So, yeah.
Meanwhile, just for the record, since the ceasefire, Iran has hit Israel via its proxy in Hezbollah 3,500 times inside of its borders. And Vance and Trump have said, hey, stop firing back. Don't fire back. Vance accused Israel, it turns out incorrectly, of just randomly firing into apartment complexes.
No.
That was not true. Was completely debunked by our media, as well as international media and Hezbollah.
A random act of journalism.
Yeah, I know. Even Hezbollah admitted after Vance said it. I don't know. Maybe Tucker Carlson emailed it to him or something. He should get better sources. That even Hezbollah admitted, no, the three people killed were not random civilians. Those were Hezbollah fighters.
Yeah.
They hit a Hezbollah headquarters. Good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad it was only three. So that's a service to mankind. So J.D. Vance did not tell the truth or maybe was incredibly misinformed and needs better sources. I don't know who's briefing him when he lashed Israel and said, stop bombing in retaliation when Hezbollah bombs you. Stop, hitting these apartment complexes and killing random civilians. Again, Hezbollah admits those were their fighters. And so this is kind of where we are this morning. OK, now this let me add another dimension to this. OK. Overnight. So J.D. Vance trashing Israel. Trump's been trashing Israel in recent days. Don't fire back. Let Iran hit you all they want. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Don't mess up our negotiations is what they've been saying in the international media. But Trump just did an interview with the Israeli media. It's called Channel 14 in Israel. And Trump said the opposite of Vance and himself in the last 48 hours. The headline is Trump says he would back Israel if Israel bombs Iran. Yeah. He said that in Israeli media. Now, if you look at Channel 14 in Israel, it's entirely non-English. except the Trump part.
Yeah.
So this is Trump saying a completely different thing, a total 180. I mean, if Trump, that's almost a gift wrapped invitation, and we're not going to hit him, but if you did, right?
Yeah.
While Trump tells them not to hit Hezbollah in retaliation. I'm just doing the news, okay? Yeah. You figure this one out, because this is a 188 completely contradictory message that he's telling the Israeli people versus the rest of the world. Now, obviously, we have internet, right? So he knows this is going to bleed over. Yeah. Oh, in Israel.
Yeah. Listen, I still think whether they tell the truth or not, there's a reason for it. I'm not excusing it. I mean, listen, I would prefer that we be completely honest, but quite honestly, in negotiations, you really shouldn't be talking about everything all the time.
Yeah, I do wish they'd stop talking.
Yeah, yeah.
But so at this point right now, I think they designed it this way, right? I have no idea what they're going to do. They might just, you know, if Israel starts killing Iranians, then maybe we will too. Or, you know, maybe we'll call Israel out and say, stop. We've said both things the last 48 hours. So,
well, I think it makes sense for what Trump just said, though. Like you put it, if this is him tacitly giving in, permission for Israel to hit Iran if they get hit. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, me too.
Because from a strategic standpoint, if you're just hitting the people who are making the final mile delivery of the weapons that came from Iran to begin with, why not go to the source? You know, so Hezbollah hits Israel in northern Israel or their forces in southern Lebanon where they have it occupied right now, and then you don't hit that. You go back and you hit Iran, and you take out their, you know, munition storages, or you take out their solid rocket fuel storage systems or their launchers or whatever. Make them hurt, not the proxy. That kind of makes sense to
That's
me.
What it looks like. I mean, that is the huge headline this morning that Trump has said that in Israel, not here.
And you let Israel do that.
Yeah. That's what I think they should do. You know what? If you don't want to do it for various reasons, then you know what? Let Israel do it. And
take the IDF off the leash. Let them go.
Yeah. Let them do what they want to. And by the way, I mean, pure natural law, they have every right to kill every one of these people in retaliation for October 7th. They were.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So
Israel, I'll be honest with you, Israel would have the right to invade Iran and take it over.
Yeah, they
would. October
7th. Absolutely.
Any other nation that had done that, that's pretty much what would have happened, is that there had been a war and an invasion and an occupation and vengeance, if nothing else.
Things got weirder the last couple of days. And there's a theory online, okay, that really caught fire with this yesterday. I hadn't mentioned it because I was like, well, I haven't seen any evidence of this. That there's a good cop, bad cop thing going on right now, that Trump and Vance are, and this is the only evidence of it, and you know how Trump is when he negotiates. This could be the sleight of hand. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah. Or maybe he hates Israel. I don't know. But because you said both things.
Yeah,
I can only do the news. Is this Vance and Trump and Lutnick and all of them distancing themselves from Israel when Trump point blank says to Israel, everyone hates you, stop bombing, leave Iran alone? Then he turns around, tells Israel, but if you bomb them, I'll help you.
Huh? Or won't stand in the way.
Yeah, in other words, is this good cop, bad cop, where Trump and Vance are distancing themselves from Israel so Israel can then go in and do stuff, and then Trump and Vance, you know, basically kill another round of leaders, which is exactly what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. Galibov has got to die. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does. And there's, listen, I got a text from somebody the other day saying, you say you're a Christian, how could you say that? Okay, Galibov, who he's the parliamentary leader, he was the head of the IRGC and thus the Quds Force during the entire Iraq war when we were not at war with Iran, and they killed 600 of us for sport. So you see the Wounded Warrior commercials, these people don't have legs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was Galibov. Don't feel bad for him. The fact that he is alive to me is offensive, period. Somebody should have taken, whether it was Bush, Obama, Biden, Trump, whoever. So don't feel bad for this guy, okay? Meanwhile, look at what Trump's saying, though. He actually said, I really like these Iranian leaders. They're good guys. They're great guys, right?
Yeah,
but he's telling Israel, but go ahead and bomb them, though.
Yes, exactly.
You know, like, go ahead and kill them. That'll be fine. So, I mean, lot is flying through the air right now.
He said the same thing about Vladimir Putin, about Xi Jinping, about, North Korean guy, Kim Jong-un. He says that all the time. That's the way he does his international relations. And, you know, it makes me uncomfortable, but I get kind of what he's doing.
Meanwhile, Iran has every incentive to just dither because the way the MOU is written, they get the $300 billion at the end of the 60 days, if no matter what.
Yeah.
And so they, I think they're just using the dithering to try to get more stuff. They want another $18 billion. Meanwhile, we got to look at overnight why Trump had to do this. And this validates everything I've been telling you for the last 2 weeks. When I said, look, we're running up against $150 a barrel oil. That sounds like a strange thing since it was 70 yesterday. But we were because, as Exxon CEO warned, hey, we got 2 weeks left on these strategic petroleum reserves throughout the world. They are just about dry. And that's been artificially keeping the prices down. It will shoot straight up to 150. And that is why when you yesterday Trump, or day before it ran yesterday, Trump said, hey, listen, we'd have a worldwide depression. What is he talking about? He's talking about what the Exxon CEO said. We're out of time. So they had to give Iran everything it wanted to the point of ridiculousness to get them to the table and get them to an agreement. I don't think they should have done an agreement. I think we should reopen the strait by force. They didn't want to do that for whatever reason. But you can see this. This just came out, Lee. U.S. commercial crude inventories had reached critical levels as of yesterday. One of our key crude inventory stations at Cushing, Oklahoma, largest commercial storage hub in the U.S., the pricing point for WTI crude, it dropped 1.6 million barrels last week to 20 million barrels. Lee, that is the lowest we've had in storage since 2014. We couldn't go much further. As a result, Cushing, again, the largest commercial storage hub in the U.S., now holds less than 2 days worth of U.S. crude production. So Trump took this right to the limit. And Iran must have known it. That's why they held out for what, quite frankly, is a ridiculous deal.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff is going on right now in the background, and it's going to be very interesting to watch. But don't kid yourself. They just stood J.D. Vance up at the negotiation table, and they want $18 billion more.
I think this is another example of you don't want to see how the sausage is made.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
unfortunately, we're forced to watch.
Yeah. And kind of scarily, did you catch what else Trump said? I don't know why this wasn't bigger news. He reiterated to Iran and to all of the other nations of the world, do not sell Iran a nuke. We will consider that an act of war and we will bomb you accordingly. Why would he say that? Well, it just came out in the last 72 hours that back in March, North Korea was negotiating to give Iran a nuke. Yeah. And we've known that since March. Trump turned around and gave them a warning. It all just came out. Trump reiterated the don't give them a nuke thing. Why? Because he's just allowed them to have ballistic missiles. That includes long-range ballistic missiles like the Khorramshahr, which Iranian leaders keep using that word, Khorramshahr, Khorramshahr, Khorramshahr. Well, it references probably one of the only modern Iranian military victories, but it is also the name they chose for their long-range nuclear-capable ballistic missiles that they already have, the ones they aimed at Diego Garcia. Mm-hmm. In other words, Trump is concerned that Iran will purchase a nuke. So this is a very, this is like going for your morning run holding glycerin. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you don't want to trip on a curb. That's where, this is dangerous stuff, okay? Don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
We are playing with absolute fire here.
Absolutely. But, you know, this is fire that has to be dealt with because we've had a situation where we have had administration after administration after administration kicking this issue down the road. We are here because of what past American diplomatic and military failures have occurred from various administrations of both parties.
Yeah, I mean, Midnight Hammer only happened, Lee, and hit the music, Tim, because we're at the end of the segment. Midnight Hammer only happened because Obama and Biden unfroze $100 billion each and gave it to Iran. That's what built those facilities that Trump had to blow up. And again, we are, whatever the case, I don't like to steal, but we are in a much, much, much better place than we were a year ago with Iran in terms of, you know, them being able to reconstitute. But we cannot let them buy a nuke from North Korea, which, Lee, really is just China. I mean, North Korea, you know, leader of that country didn't go to the bathroom without asking Chinese permission. So it's all very weird. Keep your eye on it. The games have already begun. Hezbollah, the Iranian proxy, who bragged yesterday that Iran is going to give them the American money as soon as they get their hands on it, because they can, according to the terms of this deal, fired over 50 missiles, rockets, and UAVs into Israel between June 17th and late yesterday, June 18th. And then when Israel responded, turned around and said to America, we're not coming to the negotiating table. We're going to stand up J.D. Vance in Switzerland because you've got to stop Israel from responding. So what does this tell you? They pummel Israel and then say, oh, look, Israel responded. That violates the terms of the ceasefire. By the way, we want $6 billion and it's not enough. We'd like another 18. Financial Times already saying that we have now begun the process of releasing the $6 billion. Now, what we don't know is the terms. Trump administration saying it's only to go for medicine and food for the people. It's going to have to be all American products and they're going to have to buy the American products. So we'll see. We may be, you know, again, seeing pallets of baby formula delivered to Iran. Or they get the cash. I don't know. We don't know the mechanism yet. So this is very obvious what they're doing. They know the Trump administration needs to be seen showing, you know, talks. And they get Israel to fire back so they could say, hey, violation of a ceasefire. Meanwhile, Trump's telling Israel in an interview in Israeli media that, you know, if Iran were to bomb, if Israel were to bomb Iran, I would bomb them too. The complete opposite of what he's been saying the last few days. So this is all getting very, very interesting, folks. A lot going on here. But we're now finding out we came within 2 days at the largest oil facility in our country, Cushing, Oklahoma, of going dry. Holding less than 2 days worth of U.S. crude production, approaching the minimum level at which the facility can continue pumping oil efficiently, then you start to have problems because there's so little pressure in there. So that's how low that we got and how much we released to try to artificially keep the price down. We were going to hit 150 a barrel. Trump had to do that. I don't know if you noticed this yesterday. My daughter and I went to lunch and we went to my favorite place, Moe's. And we went there and we drove by a Circle K. And it was like $3.47 or so, something like that. Well, driving back from lunch, if you've ever been to Moe's, it doesn't take long to eat there. It was like 10 cents cheaper on the ride back. That was like, I don't know, 45 minutes later. So, I mean, this situation is absolutely wild. And it's just going to get wilder as we go. Texter writes, maybe Trump is imitating Iran's habit of saying one thing and doing the other. Israel is a willing proxy for the U.S. Oh, absolutely. They'd be more than happy to take out this round of Iranian leadership. Now, the texter says, Tara, people need to read their Bible. Every nation will turn against Israel, including the United States. Another texter writes, so Obama stands in front of an $847 million library, self-dedicated memorial, and delivers a speech on no kings, calling U.S. citizens not Americans. Wow. Yeah. We're going to get into that today. The whole uniparty on full display, except for Trump, who was not invited. George W. Bush was there, of course. Demanding open borders, demanding an endless immigration. It was an absolute orgy of open borders, immigration demands, globalism on full display yesterday at the Obama dedication. You could see the whole uniparty out in full force. We'll have all of that and what it means coming up. Do you ever think you'd see this in your lifetime?
D.C. one step closer to electing a socialist mayor as Kenyon McDuffie concedes to Democrat socialist Janice Lewis-George in their Democratic primary. Her win reflecting the rise of far-left ideology in the Democratic Party as the philosophy spreads across the country. Yesterday, longtime progressive champion Bernie Sanders and Democratic socialist Zohran Mamdani rallying together in the Big Apple.
The outcome of these elections will reverberate around our city and around our country. And it will send a very clear message. When we win, we will make it clear that our movement is more powerful than their money.
And there is something else that the American people understand. And that is that the politics and the policies of the Democratic establishment are no longer good enough.
Meanwhile, Zohran Mamdani, or Mamdani as we call him here, is going forward with a push to throw out all three normal members of the Democrat Party, including Jewish Representative Dan Goldman and Congressional Hispanic Caucus leader Adriano Espielat, and replace them with members of the Democrat Socialist Party. So he is making a push to oust all three and make them socialists. In other words, these are the ones whose districts or parts of their districts run through New York City, hoping to complete the socialist takeover of New York. Folks, this is crazy. Meanwhile, the Democrat Socialist of America, they're just socialists, okay? Top leadership has put out their new agenda. Because, see, they think the Democrat Party's agenda is too moderate. You know, the part where they turn the Supreme Court into a legislature and pack the court, fire other court members who disagree with them, and get rid of basically the Bill of Rights, right? Mm-mm. Democrat socialists say not enough. They are out with their new workers deserve more platform. We'll see what that involves. Oh, this is crazy. Getting rid of the U.S. Senate. Getting rid of the U.S. Senate and replacing the president of the country and the Supreme Court with executive with an executive and judiciary chosen by and subordinate to Congress, which would only have one house. In other words, a total democracy, which, as we know, is just two wolves and a sheep deciding what to have for dinner. So they're saying this whole idea of making Guam a state, making D.C. a state, making Puerto Rico a state, making, you know, so that there's enough Democrat senators do whatever they want, and then destroying the Supreme Court by packing it and turning it into a legislature, not enough. No, no, no. We need to abolish the Supreme Court. Okay, understand, this is not just some kooky ideas. This is the platform they're running on. And they say they're committed to abolishing the federal carceral state. What does that mean? And you got to read down to see what they're talking about. Federal prisons. No federal prisons. Done. Now, murder, rape, drug trafficking, or I shouldn't say rape, but like, you know, when I have serious, you do those things. They don't say where they're going to put you. Although it does, if you look at Fairfax, Virginia, or you look at Boston, or even New York, I mean, probably the answer is right back on the street to do it again. I mean, I don't know, but they just want to, no prisons, period. But they're now pursuing, you're going to hear a lot more about this because it just passed this big deal. The Democrat Socialists of America, that's, of course, Bernie Sanders' party, AOC is a member. So is Zohran Mamdani. All these candidates like Rand Plattner are endorsed by them. These are their candidates. They're calling for real democracy. Again, replacement of the president and the Supreme Court and the U.S. Senate. They also want to abolish police as well. And they want to name Jerusalem as the capital of the Palestinian state. And they say the Democrat Party platform, which is radical in itself, is just not enough. The thing is, folks, they're winning. Do you see this? This is going to be a nail biter. In Maine, Graham Plattner, the Nazi communist, and the Nazi who says he's a communist, so it's okay if he has a Nazi tattoo. That's according to Democrats. Is running against Susan Collins. They are within, this is a photo finish. They are within the margin of error. Can you imagine our first communist, socialist, Nazi senator? And the Democrats love him. They can't get enough of him. Did you ever think you'd see a thing like this? Now, folks, that agenda I just told you about sounds radical. The folks, it's going to go mainstream in the Democrat Party. You know what you're watching? You are watching the socialists take over the Democrat Party. Do you know what is going on in America? We are rapidly hurtling toward not Republicans versus Democrats, but Republicans versus socialists. And they want to destroy the system completely if they get power. What they are campaigning on here is getting rid of the Constitution. There, see, that's much shorter. To the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line we go. Text writes, Tara, if Graham Plattner wins in Maine U.S. Senate seat and is sworn in, He can immediately be charged with perjury in as much as his oath includes upholding the Constitution. The same applies to anyone currently in office who openly suborns the Constitution. Folks, I don't know how you can support the platform of the Democrat Socialist of America and not be guilty of sedition and be triable in court. I'm serious. They've just adopted a platform. So this is Zohran Mamdani's party, okay? This is Bernie Sanders' party. It's AOC's party. It's the party of El Sayed, who is running on a pro-Trump assassination platform in Michigan. At least I assume he is. He's campaigning with Hassan Piker, who has openly called for the assassination of Donald Trump, including at a campaign stop. So this isn't theoretical or what they're saying. They have candidates. Mayor of Seattle is one. What looks like she will be the socialist mayor of D.C. is another one. These are their candidates. And they're saying our platform is eliminate the president, eliminate the Supreme Court, and eliminate the Senate, keep the House, and the House chooses the executive instead of a president and the courts. All justice is the answer to that. And that's sedition. I mean, you're going to have to chuck the Constitution for that. That's a civil war. Texter writes, Chair, the Democrat Socialist Party of America is a domestic enemy of the U.S. Constitution, therefore can't win anything, even if they take 100% of the vote. Now, the texter writes, good morning, Tara. Interesting report about the new Democrat Nazi party. No more prisons equals no more crime. They don't want anything to be illegal. Oh, well, some stuff would still be illegal. It'd just be whatever we do is illegal. That's how it works in China. Texter writes, oh, good. Immediately charge them with sedition. Great idea. That needs to begin to happen. I mean, we need to haul their candidates before Congress and say, you know, I mean, are you going to renounce the Democrat Socialists of America right now? Because this is what they stand for.